This morning, I want to tell you a story about a hen. Now, the hen was no ordinary hen. In fact, she was known throughout the farm as Mother Hen. For as long as anyone on the farm could remember, she had been laying eggs and hatching chicks. If one were to try to count just how many chicks the mother hen had nurtured and cared for in her lifetime, they had better invest in the finest of calculators and prepared to spend a lifetime plucking away at the keys, because not even a master mathematician could make the calculation before time made her fade to gray. So trust me, it's a lot of chicks. Amazingly, no matter how many years pass, no matter how many chicks left the nest to set out on their own and have their own chicken lives, the love of the mother hen for each of her chicks never waned. Mother hen had a great, deep love for every one of her chicks, a love that at times overwhelmed her. But the thing about Mother Hen is that she never allowed this all-consuming love that grasped her heart to smother those chicks. Somehow she was able to let those little chickens do as they pleased. Some stayed all the days of their lives in the warmth of her wings, near enough to hear her heartbeat and have it sync up with their own, and to hear her coo stories about the farm in their little ears. But others did wander away, and despite that fact, she would not force herself on them. As years went by, and those chicks stumbled away and scattered, some intentionally even turned their backs on Mother Hen for reasons Mother Hen could not always understand. But she never used her wings to beat up or grasp or cling to her chicks. And as those chicks wandered away from her into the vast space of the farm, Mother Hen worried. But she did not lecture. She wept for her chicks, but she did not force them to stay. She told her stories. She sang her songs. She did not let that love turn into anger either. She waited, longing for their return, hoping that one day the scattered chicks, clucking at one another with no memory of the shared mother that they came from, would make their way back to the safety of her nest. What really kept Mother Hen up at night was the farm fox. This fox was a very clever fellow and the main predator of chicks and hens alike. He prowled and he lurked throughout the farm, always with an eye out on those chicks who were left alone, who had wandered away from the safety of Mother Hen's wings. And this fact disturbed Mother Hen to her core. Mother Hen knew that if that wily fox were to strike, she would have no choice but to spread her wings to protect her chicks, and likely end up dying trying to protect them as she exposed her great big heart and her vital organs to keep her chicks in the shelter of her wings. This Sunday, we are finally beginning our series on the fruit of the Spirit. For the next 9 weeks, we will look at the 9 fruits that Paul speaks of to the church at Galatia in chapter 5. And this week, Week number one, it's all about love. Love. What do we really know about love? I mean, what do you love? What do you love? When people ask, what do you love? What do you say? Maybe it's a certain show or movie or a restaurant that you go to just for special occasions. Or maybe it's that sweater in the closet, you know, the one that you reach for as soon as there's a hint of chill in the air in the summertime. It's what you love. Oh goodness, what do we know about love? We sure do love a lot of things, but what do we really know about love? Well, this morning, and this is a word I also always offer to those couples that I marry, I'm talking about more than being in love, that puppy dog state of affairs. I'm talking about more than being in love with someone or in like with something, which is often how we use the word love these days. We're talking about lives that bear the fruit of love in the world, fruit born of the Holy Spirit of God. So let me shift my use of the word love here for just a moment. And this shift is from love serving as a static noun, which is often how it's used, or an adjective, and now we're getting back into English and grammar. I know that's not really fun on a Sunday morning, but let's talk about love as a verb that is present and active in our life together. Because as those of you who have been in marriages know, love as a verb is key to the survival of a marriage, or of a family, or of a friendship. And now we are beginning to see the difference between a Christian understanding of love and a secular one. For what exactly do you do for the movie that you love? Do you do anything for the movie that you love? I haven't done anything for my favorite movie lately. I watch it, but, you know, I don't do anything for it. Or what about that restaurant or that sweater? What do you do for it? You see, there is love, and there is love. And the difference between the two makes all the difference in the world. In the scripture we heard from Luke this morning, Jesus uses perhaps one of my favorite images for God, and that is of a mother hen. Jesus sets up in the minds of those listening to him, listening to this lament, something like a fable. Once there was a fox who lurked throughout the land. The fox was cold and cruel and hungry. Hungry for power and hungry for chicks, and especially hungry for that mother hen. The fox, according to Jesus, is Herod. Herod Antipas, to be exact, but, you know, it doesn't really matter because there was a Herod before and there was going to be Herod after him. No matter which Herod it may be playing the role of the fox, in God's screenplay, it's the foil to the mother hen love of Jesus. Rarely do we hear God described in female imagery. And perhaps it's the season of my life that amplifies the meaning and the impact of God's mother hen love. I am, after all, a mother hen of two chicks, ages 2 and 4, and Lord knows I would do anything to keep them from the foxes who lurk about in this world and prey on the vulnerable. I feel an abiding and persistent love for my chicks. And at times, that overwhelms me. I can see a little glimpse of how a mother hen's desire for her brood, each and every chick, is relentless, steady, persistent. She is wired to protect her chicks. And God, our mother hen, is wired in that way. God, our mother hen, is not embarrassed to weep over her scattered and scattering brood. She does not fear showing the vulnerable side to her love. And as she opens her wings to gather and embrace a scattered and scattering chicks, she leaves herself vulnerable. Wings wide open, her precious vital organs exposed to any predator in pursuit of her chicks. Wings wide open, she puts her life on the line in order to protect her beloved brood. Wings wide open, arms wide open, she puts her life on the cross so that her chicks may find new and everlasting life, and so the foxes of the world do not have the ultimate win, because that's what love looks like, and that's what love acts like. A Christian understanding of love must always result in action. Jesus did not go around saying only, "I love people. I love people. People are great. I love people." He showed his love. He showed his love in every moment of his life, by touching those who were untouchable, by listening to the brokenhearted. He showed what love looks like. And in one grand moment on the cross, he showed what it means to love people. And Jesus did not merely say, "I love God. God is awesome. I love God." He showed that love for God and the ways that he loved God's people and the ways that he led a prayerful life, a life of healing, a life of compassion, and the way that he brought people together across divides that the world had set up. He revealed his love of God and knowledge, intimate knowledge of the love of God, which seeks to heal and unite that which is broken and divided. To love in the verbal sense of the word, we must know love as a proper noun, because there are a lot of so-so definitions of love in this world. We must know that love of God and abide in it. I am the vine and you are the branches. We must abide in that love and let it transform us and equip us to live love out in this world. And this love is not just cute. You know, my mom, she worked for Hallmark. She was an illustrator for Hallmark, and Hallmark's done a lot for Valentine's Day and for the image of hearts in this world. And the thing is that a heart isn't just like this cute little shape, but it is the strongest muscle that we have. And to imagine God as love, I imagine that heart beating, bringing people in and out in the world. Love is powerful beyond our understanding. And yet, it struggles to have its way in our lives, in my life, in our churches, in our marriages, in our homes, and in our world. That kind of love is not easy to come by, because there are foxes about. Those who seek to harm love. There are foxes like Herod who are so afraid to lose power, and power is a big part of love, right? So afraid to lose power over people, power that is rooted in the people's fear of the fox, to the chirpings and the coos of a mother hen, that he would do anything to eliminate love. But there is another kind of fox, and it's one that isn't mentioned directly in the story we heard this morning, but I think it's a fox that is far more threatening to the Spirit's goal of bearing love out and through the church and it's a fox called apathy. To get bit by the fox called apathy is not to find yourself dead, but deadened, to live a life that has become frozen solid. In this numb, desensitized state, nothing can trouble, nothing can threaten, but in like manner, nothing can grow, especially love. Far too many of Jesus' followers have been bit by the fox called apathy and have, as a result, isolated themselves from the cries of their fellow chicks in this world, even from the cries in their own heart about pain that they feel and are trying to keep hidden away. Love cannot grow in this state of heart. And even worse, great injury can be done to the body of Christ when we are bit by that fox called apathy. I'll give you an example from my life. My sister, when she was 2 years old, back in the day, you know, ovens were not protected from heat, so if you brushed up against them, you got burned, right? You remember those ovens? Maybe you have those ovens. So we were at the Lake of the Ozarks, and she was 2 years old and trying to figure out moving, and everyone's busy and in lake mode, and they look over and they see my sister frozen like this, leaning on the oven. She had burned her hands so much that she was in complete shock by the heat of the oven. Now, when we are a little bit older and a little bit wiser, right, when we put a hand on something hot, what's our reaction? Yee! We pull away, right? And it's because we have that wisdom and we have that connection with our feelings. We are not numb to it, and so we are able to prevent further damage. But imagine that you don't have feeling in your hand, and you do place it on that hot stove. Now, even if you aren't feeling anything, what's happening to your hand? You're getting some beautiful blisters growing on your hand is what's happening. And eventually you might wake up to that pain, your body might scream out to you, but it may take longer if this part of your body is numb. I think that apathy works in this way. It works in this way in the body of Christ. Because we cannot be disconnected from each other no matter what. However, we can think we are. We can be numb. And that damage can be done to the body without us being aware enough and alert enough to react and pull away. In the state of apathy, Christians lack that impulse, that hunger, that desire, that heartbreak to bring about change for the sake of those who are crying out in pain. For justice, for help, which is love lived out loud. We do get a clue in this text about how we can take back our lives, what the antidote or medicine would be to apathy. And it's in Jesus' activity after he says those words about the wily fox, Herod. What does he do? He laments. He cries out. And this is an ancient practice. It is one that's woven throughout the Psalms. For every hymn of praise is a hymn of lament. The two go hand in hand. And we don't often know how to lament, perhaps because it's scary. Maybe we think that we might be punished to really tell God how we feel about something. But in the Psalms and in the life of Jesus, we see that there is no punishment for the one who cries out to God, and that God would rather we lament and cry out to him than to keep it down and buried inside. We can lament. We can lament. It is the language of love that doesn't seem like it at first. The language of love for God, our neighbor, and our world. When things aren't as we know they should be. As we wrap up this message this morning, I'm still lingering with a few questions because it's really overwhelming, is it not? We, just listening to the prayers this morning, sometimes it seems like apathy is the easiest answer because it seems like there is more than we can bear, more wrong out there than we can offer up good, any answer to. But we've already sung in our hymns this morning the response, and that is that together we can fill the world with love. And that when we are united on that front, we don't have to be the one doing the work alone. I mean, I constantly remind us of this, but just in our denomination as Disciples of Christ, we have the organization called Week of Compassion, who is designed to constantly be the hands and feet of Jesus in traumatic disaster situations throughout the world. So there are ways in which we can put our love into action, no matter how scary it might be. And I know and I believe that this work is happening here at Miriam Christian Church. But I also know and I believe that there is still so much more to be done. So many more chicks scattered and scattering. And so, what are we to do as the wings of Jesus today? But to get to work, to gather up that brood, and to bring about healing through our love. Amen.